Well, thanks for joining me. What a wonderful day to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. We'll invoke St. Faustina, the secretary, that's what the Lord called her, the secretary of his mercy. And he chose her, of all the people in the world, to record this incredible revelation, this incredible message to the world. The Lord told St. Faustina, she actually records in her diary, she said this, he said this, he said to Faustina, I sent prophets wielding thunderbolts to my people. Today I'm sending you with my mercy to the people of the world, for I do not want to punish aching mankind, but I desire to heal it, pressing it to my merciful heart. And that's the message of divine mercy. I don't know if it was Father Simon or Patrick. I was in my car the other day and I heard somebody say, what is justice? Justice is getting what you deserve. What is mercy? It's getting what you don't deserve, right? And that's often the love and the forgiveness. And I thought it was a great explanation or summary of really what mercy is. And the Lord doesn't want to punish us. He wants to heal us. He'll always honor our free will. He gave us not only Our Lady, who said yes, and ultimately His Son, who died for us. And across the centuries, many great saints were raised up. I don't think there's so many of them. It's hard to say, hey, one is greater than the other. But in the 20th century, we've had so many wonderful saints. St. Faustina, in particular, lived in a time of war. You know, she was born in 1905. We know about World War I. She prophesied the Second World War, and she died right before it happened. She died October 5th, 1938. And, of course, we know Hitler would soon cross over into Poland. The Blitzkrieg would take place, and World War II would ensue. But Faustina, she promised that she would continue her mission even after her death. And that's why today I really want to call upon her. The Pope beatified her and then ultimately canonized her. Beatified her on April 18th, 1993. I was there in Vatican Square that day. I had no idea, you know, but God had a special anointing put on me. He wanted me there, exposed me to St. Faustina before she was ever even beatified. And then on April 30th, and that's a significant date. We'll talk about that a little bit later. She was ultimately canonized. And I'll tell you what, I want to go to Poland next year on a pilgrimage again. It was one of the best pilgrimages I've ever taken. Hey, I'm in studio, though, today with someone who's going to be praying with me. She didn't realize it was St. Faustina's feast day, and she thought, wow, what a great day to do my inaugural prayer. Colleen, good to have you in here with me. Delighted to have you. Anything you want to pray for?
Oh, goodness. Well, thank you for having me, first of all. I'm really excited to be here, and I'll pray always in Thanksgiving for my dad. I know he's listening right now, so I'm sure he's over the moon after work today, and for the conversion of several of my friends to come back to the heart and the mercy of Jesus.
That's a great prayer. It really is. And, you know, fathers and daughters have very special relationships, don't they?
Absolutely.
I had three sons, and then I had two daughters. Believe me, the relationship. I mean, girls own their father. It's something else. So I'm delighted. I know he must love you very much. I want to pray for all fathers and daughters and mothers and sons. And I want to pray for anyone who's having difficulty in that relationship today, too. It's unfortunate. So many relationships and families are broken. So let's pray. Let me just share an email or two, if I could, here, as I sometimes like to do. A lot of people write in and share with me. This person says, Drew, it's a miracle. I sent you an email over the weekend about my coworker's close friend, Jeff, who suffered a neck fracture and a spinal cord injury while he was riding a wave on vacation in Mexico last week. He was unconscious after he hit his head in the water and was pulled by a regular swimmer out of the water onto shore. There was no pulse, no breathing. The lifeguard started administering CPR. By the grace of God, there was an ER doctor also on the beach who rushed in to help. Jeff and his wife were both high school teachers and beloved by their community. At the time, by email, he was intubated and doctors were unsure how much neurological damage he would have sustained. Maybe he may not even be able to walk again, they thought. So we prayed and the community came together and Jeff was flown home to Pennsylvania. Co-workers just received a phone call. He's off the vent, able to breathe on his own. He is moving his extremities. He is talking and smiling. And the doctors are, and she says in all caps, astounded. The doctors are astounded. I always love those little bylines. They say, the doctors have no explanation. The doctors were amazed. The doctors were astounded. This person goes on to say, and Alana, thank you for writing. She says, it's an absolute miracle. And I just want to thank you and the Relevant Radio family. And for the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the power of prayer is real. Thank you, and thank you, Jesus. It is real. And I think today, many miracles are going to take place. I really do. I believe in St. Faustina's promise, and I just have a sense that graces are really going to flow today. So let's pray. Let me share a petition or two, too, because these came into, and the person writes, they want our prayers. These are a couple of real quick ones. Could you pray for Margaret, who has severe brain injury and is dying? Pray that God will take her home soon. Pray for my son, Anthony, who has long-term addiction and is in rehab, that'll be healed. And another person writes, you pray for a rare mouth cancer. My sister has it, the person writes. Her entire roof of her mouth has been removed and her teeth. So I just pray that God can heal all these cancer cells in her body. Another person writes, asks for anonymity, and I'll do that, of course. If you ever write to me, you don't want me to say it on the air, please lead with that, okay? This person says, could you pray for my son through the intercession of St. Francis, of course, St. Faustina? Pray for the conversion of God's truth and that he no longer has same-sex attraction, that he no longer follows this sinful ideology. I pray to God for a miracle. And we'll, of course, pray for your son. We'll just pray for anyone who's living an impure lifestyle. You know, if you are same-sex attracted or you are opposite-sex attracted, it's what we do with our sexuality that is really wrong. And we'll just pray for healing, for proper order, for chastity, right? For that we can use the great gift of our life to bring greater glory to God in all ways. And one other person, could you pray for my 15-year-old daughter's friend who's struggling with anorexia? She wants help. It's been hard for her. It's also been hard for her entire family. She struggles with this disorders, and I pray with all who have eating disorders. So a few intentions that have come in, a few answered prayers. Let's pray today for you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. I want to pray for Kay Burke today, too. She's been such a wonderful apostle of divine mercy and of Relevant Radio. And I just want to pray for her. She's a woman who suffers incredibly. And she just came to my mind, so I'm going to lift her up. Kay, we're praying for you. And let's take our first call. Carla has been waiting. She's in Mokena, Illinois. Hi, Carla. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'd like to ask everyone to storm heaven for baby Judah. I believe he's about 10 months old. He was born with a growth on the outside of his neck, and they did surgery. And since he's been born, he's been on a feeding tube, and he's been getting progressively better. But unfortunately, this morning, apparently he started throwing up blood, and they rushed him to the emergency room, and I guess he also tested positive for COVID.
Oh, so, poor baby.
And his grandmother is a warrior for pro-life at the abortion clinics, and I know the evil one is, he's at it,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I agree.
So I just ask people to please pray for his recovery, for a miracle.
Let's do that. You know, so often when we do the works of God, sometimes we do come under attack. I've seen it with families. I want to pray for Bob Tabali, too. He's involved with, Dr. Tabali is involved with a great ministry of trying to help women with aborted children or miscarriage or loss. And this man has been under unbelievable attack. So I want to pray for him. He's got a big case coming up, and ask God for mercy on him. But Carla, let's pray for baby Judah right now. I believe in miracles. I do. I believe God can heal in an absolute instant. And let's just give the Lord this child today. And St. Faustina, we call upon your intercession. We invoke your powerful intercession today on this great feast of yours. And we just ask you take this child to the throne of God and ask him in his mercy to bring complete healing. I pray for all those in the NICU, all those in the PICU. And I pray for all those most in need of mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Leslie in Phoenix, Arizona. Thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I want to beg for a miracle today for a woman friend of my sister's, of her school and church community. She's a young mom of four children, ages 16 to 2, and she has very severe esophageal cancer. She's undergoing chemo, but they're headed for a very, very difficult, intense surgery. And this is the time for a miracle. I just beg for a miracle for this family.
All right, well, I'll join you with that, Leslie. Let's pray for many miracles today, okay? And we'll pray for this young mother of four. I mean, cancer is just so wretched. Lord, I pray against cancer. I just pray you vanquish every cancerous cell from those who are now in the fight for it. You fortify and strengthen their loved ones who suffer in their own way. And I pray especially for these children. They need their mother. So I ask today, St. Faustina, again, to pray for us. You know, in diary entry 281 and 1582 of her diary, St. Faustina writes, you know, she basically shares that her mission would continue after the death, and that she would not forget us. And I believe that. Our mission would begin after death and not forget us. So I pray, Lord, that you granted St. Faustina this great privilege. I know that through her intercession, many graces will be distributed. And relying on that promise, relying on the power of her intercession and your great mercy, I bring to you these intentions, especially that of Leslie, all those now united to me as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Adriana, next we'll go to Maggie. She has been monitoring our Twitter feed. And thank you for going to Twitter, too. It's a great way to get your intentions into us. A couple of quick things. It's at Drew Mariani Show. And just send your intentions there. Maggie will bring it to air. You can follow me at Drew Mariani. I'm going to try to be a little bit better about my social media account in the future. We can connect there. And then send your answer prayers to drew@relevantradio.com. It's the show email account, and we get to see those. And I always love testifying to the power of God's great mercy. Maggie, what's coming in?
Drew, there's been so many tweets coming in. I just want to name a couple of people. I can't get through all of these today, but Jean and Annalisa and Wallace and Lori and Mary and Marie. So many people writing in. And Emmy. Brendan wrote to us earlier today. He said, my baby nephew, Will, went to the hospital this morning with a 103 fever. please keep him, his parents, and his three big sisters in your prayers. Agnes from Arizona wrote to us and said, please pray for my son, Frank. He was hit in the eye with a nail gun.
Oh, no.
He's had two surgeries, and I'm praying for a miracle that he regains his vision. Sarah from San Diego wrote to us and said, this is an urgent prayer request. The mother of my son's fifth grade classmate was killed in a tragic car accident
after she
dropped her two kids off at school.
Oh, how sad.
The whole community is praying for them today, so I want to lift that up. Drew, this one really struck me. Mariella wrote to us. She said, Drew, I'm asking for prayers for my family. 6 years of marriage and four wonderful boys. Last year, I found out about my husband's porn usage.
Wow.
It deeply hurt me in our marriage. We've been a work in progress ever since. There are days that are good, and there are days where I lose all hope. I need prayers for my healing and for his healing, that we may regain trust and forgive.
Yeah, well, stay the course on that one, because believe me, you're not alone. And offer up your suffering and your difficulty for other wives and women that are in that. I had a friend who struggled with that in a big time way, and it cost him his marriage. I mean, the wife didn't give him the second opportunity, but I think it's an epidemic today. I really want to pray for that. It came to my heart earlier today, believe it or not, that intention. I was driving to work praying, and I just I want to pray for any man who is, and woman too, but I think fundamentally a lot of men struggle with this. They bring it into their relationships and into their marriages, and it's quite hard to get beyond. And I really want to ask God to heal that, because that's something Satan loves to use. And I'm going to pray for the women who are violated by this as well. But, you know, pray for your husband. He needs you.
Amen.
Is that it, Mag?
That's it.
All right. Well, that's a good one to leave us off with. And we'll go to Adriana next. But I think of what Padre Pio said too, just on this woman who's suffering as a result of that. The most beautiful creed that we pronounce, Padre Pio says, is the one we pronounce in our hour of darkness. When you're ready to throw that towel in, when things look dark, you know, that's really when you need to walk with the Lord the closest. You need to trust all the deeper, you know, and you need to really pray all the harder for that situation and for that spouse. Adriana, thanks for waiting. Or Andrina, forgive me. Andrina, it's good to have you. Good afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Drew. You're so kind. I'm 88, and I'm a long-time listener. I live alone, and I fear the loss of control of my life to take care of myself because of my disintegrated hips. And I ask for prayer to bear the pain and apply redemptive suffering to it. And on St. Faustina's Day, I had no idea that this was it, and I'm asking for a little healing so that I can go just a little bit further to take care of things before Jesus calls me. And praise and thanksgiving for my daughter's life. She had COVID, and she got over it in 8 days, and she was dying in the hospital, and I prayed for her a few months ago, and she's healed from it.
Oh, well, I am so happy for your daughter.
She's healed from it. Amen. God gave her another chance. And I want to, not to be understood, but to understand, because life can be awful if you can't apply that.
Amen to that. Well, 88 years of age, suffering all the pain that you're in with those hips. Let's pray for you today. I'm glad you got through. Today's a special day. On this feast day, I know Sister Faustina is advocating for you and for all those especially who are suffering. I know it can be very lonely and very frightening as you get older in age. And, you know, sometimes it depends upon others. Sometimes you don't have anyone to depend upon. But again, Faustina, you know, she says, don't despair. You know, with trust, the Lord told her, throw yourself into the arms of my mercy, like a child into the arms of its beloved mother. The Lord said, no soul that is called upon my mercy has ever been disappointed, has ever been brought to shame. In fact, he said he particularly delights in souls that place their trust in his goodness. So let's do that right now. The Lord will send you angels. And the Lord, I know, is going to be at work here. So Lord, I pray for all those right now who are in despair and who need that grace to trust. Let them feel your warm and loving embrace as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
an atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, New London, Minnesota's on deck. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Really, I have two quick intentions, and the first one is that on October 31st, we're taking a pilgrimage to Green Bay to the two shrines there. So prayers for a safe trip for us.
All right.
And then, and that's through our local church, and many people from surrounding areas in Minnesota are planning to attend with us. And the second one, and really so important, is for Nathan Setfight. He is a middle-aged young man who's been spending more time in the hospital than he has been home. He had transplants, he's had infections, and he's on feeding tubes, and we just wish him, you know, yeah, healing. And his name is Nathan Setfight.
All right, we'll pray for Nathan right now, Chris, and I'll pray for your journey, too. That's going to be fun. A little road trip to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help and the National Shrine of St. Joseph. They're located in De Pere, Wisconsin, and Champion, Wisconsin. And if you are listening as far as California or south as Texas or wherever you might be, Florida, if you have a chance, I'll tell you, it's well worth a visit to these two shrines. Our Lady of Good Help in particular, where it's the only church-approved apparition in the country. It's there that the Blessed Mother actually appeared and preserved many, many people. I'll share the story with you this Friday. I'm going to bring an author on who wrote a great story. You'll love it. But let's pray right now. Lord, I just pray for all those who are on hold, all those who have voiced their intentions, those who have written. I pray for Chris in particular, for all those that she brought forward. I give you Colleen and my intentions, and we turn to you now, and we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll try to get a couple extra calls in on this great feast of St. Faustina. We'll start in Chicago with Teresa. Teresa, good afternoon.
Hello, Drew.
Hi.
Good afternoon. Hello, Drew and Colleen.
Yep.
I called in August of 2000, and my husband had a successful surgery then on his spine, but now the hardware that's in his back is irritating something else, and he can't tolerate this pain. So I asked him for healing for him, please. Mm-hmm.
You got it. We're going to pray right now for him, okay? Keep praying. And it's a day of healing. I believe it. I really do. Lord, I just ask that you touch that spine. You heal that back. I pray for all those with herniated discs, ruptured discs, all those with scoliosis, all those suffering with sciatica, all those who just have problems that radiate from their back. Lord, it can be debilitating and crippling. And if it's through medicine, through surgery, through some other means, I thank you for that. Open the doors and bring answers to these prayers. Linda in Minatola, New Jersey. Good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call. My cousin Larry is on his deathbed. He had a stroke. On this day with St. Faustina, he is full Polish, and he's, I think he's 82 years old, and I know he's dying, and I just want to get this in before he goes, and hopefully God takes him right to heaven.
Amen. Well, be at peace, okay? We all make this transition. Let's pray right now. And I'm so glad you got through today, especially. We'll entrust him to St. Faustina's intercession, who many times when she was in her cell, her little room in her room in her convent, she'd be deep in prayer and she'd find herself bilocating to the bedside of a dying person such as this. And I think today she'll do the same thing for us. She'll intercede quite often in that last hour, those last moments. The evil one wants the soul of that individual. And Faustina would pray the chaplet, and we'll do that right now. And she wrote in her diary, she says that at the hour of death, the Lord will defend as his own glory every soul who will pray this prayer, or when others say it for the dying. And that's what I love. You don't have to necessarily be there. You can pray for the dying. In fact, I would encourage you to pray for the dying every day. When I see accidents, when I hear about bombings, I instantly pray the chaplet for those souls. The Lord says, pray, I'll defend as my own glory every soul who prays this chaplet. And he says, you pray it, whether at the bedside or not. And he says, the promise will be the same, for God's anger will be placated and unfathomable mercy will envelop that soul. So, Lord, I give you the sick. I give you the dying. I give you everyone on hold. I give you everyone who has written to us and everyone who is now praying. You know our deepest needs. We pray for your holy will to be done in our lives. St. Faustina, intercede for us. Let today be a day of great miracles. Pull aside that veil of heaven as you promised, and allow God's grace to flow. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for
Saint us. St. Joseph,
pray for
Saint
us.
St. Faustina,
pray for
Saint
us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for
Saint
us.
St. Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for
and
us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for praying. Thank you, Colleen, for being here. And, you know, when I come back, Father Nicholas Federspiel is going to be stopping by. I want to talk a little bit more about Faustina. I mean, we know her story, right? You know, but you know her parents. They weren't big fans of having her go into the convent. But things did change. We'll tell you a fascinating story behind this powerhouse saint, what her family was like, something you may never have heard before. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining me. Always a delight to be here with you. Thank you, really, for praying with me and allowing me to pray with you. It's an honor. It is a privilege. And I'm just I'm honored to share the mic this day in which we honor St. Faustina. You know, last night, I mean, I got an email from Father Nicholas Federspiel. I know you know him. He's a great priest, a wonderful chaplain. He's been here on the program many times. And he'll send my wife and I stuff all the time in the mail. You know, they'll give us this beautiful, you know, write-up at Christmas and what's going on in his life. He said all sorts of different things, little surprises. Sent me a great DVD last time. Of course, he always has got great insight. You know, he's a dynamic preacher. I heard him preach one time, and I was really taken back by the facts and the insights that he was able to bring. And last night he sent me, I know a lot about St. Faustina, right? I wrote a book about divine mercy. He actually highlighted something that I think is so worth talking about that I was going to share with you a little bit about her life. You know, we've been through that before and, you know, where she grew up and all that type of stuff. But I think about the great saints, and behind the great saints so often are great parents, right? But we are all human, right? We all have foibles. We all have our own problems. You know, we all, you know, may have concerns. And I know her parents did as well. I thought today, maybe in addition to talking about the extraordinary life of St. Faustina, we can give you a little backstory on her parents as well. And I asked Father to stop by to share just that. And he's joining me right now. Father, it's good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew, and happy Feast of St. Faustina. I know a day that means so much to you and your listeners. And I've always said the greatest compliment a child can give to their dad and mom is to say, you introduced me to Jesus.
Wow.
I can say that about my mom and dad. You can say that about your family, and so many who are listening today can say that about our parents. And certainly we can say that about St. Faustina, right, that her mother and father introduced her to Jesus and to the Catholic Church and to her vocation. And that's why I think when you think about the report card in heaven, right, Stanislaus Kowalska and Marianne Kowalska, the mom and dad of Faustina, I think the report card in heaven, it's etched, right, in a permanent marker, mission accomplished, right? Their mission was accomplished, and it was simple, right? Let's give our faith to our daughter and raise her to be a saint. Mission accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Who was it? Was it Zelly? Who are the parents? There are other parents that are up for canonization right now. Is it the parents of St. Therese? The Little Flower?
They're canonized, right? Louis and Zelly Martin, they're canonized. Absolutely, they're canonized.
So you look at some of these other great saints, and you look back, and you see the influence that a parent has. Yeah, my faith was profoundly influenced by my mother and my father, you know, profoundly. And, you know, St. Faustina had a very interesting upbringing. She grew up she was born in 1905 in a very poor part of farming area in Poland. And but her parents were always very devout. Her father was devout. But Faustina had this special anointing ever since she was a young child. Tell us a little bit about the parents. Tell us a little bit about the backstory. You know, how did they influence her faith? What ultimately happened? You know, were they supportive of her vocation? Bring us through kind of the sermon that you shared with me, Father.
Well, we praise God, right, that the church received a Polish couple who were willing to raise not just a good daughter, but a daughter who was willing to be totally surrendering herself to Jesus as a nun. And we know, right, no parents are perfect. And Mr. and Mrs. Kowalska, they laid their home's foundation on solid rock, which is Jesus. And all through the centuries, the dads and moms of saints, they often go unnoticed, right, hidden. And that's why I think today is a great opportunity to thank God for Jesus raising up Faustina, right, to inspire us. But also her mother and father, right? They sweated. They've worked hard to get their little girl to grow up to be the secretary of God's divine mercy. And certainly St. Faustina is the hero. But I say to everyone who's listening today, her dad and mom, right? Stanislaus, her dad, her mom, Marianne, they're the hidden heroes. And I think all three deserve attention because Jesus used all three of them to lead us today's celebration, which we have every 5th of October, right? Setting this day aside, the day that Faustina died at 10:45 p.m. in the evening, and to say, you know, how can I be inspired by her life? What lesson can I learn? But not just to learn a lesson, right? To apply it to my life, that we should strive to be saints, not because we're afraid of what God might do to us if we don't try to be a saint, but the bigger reason, right? But God is our Father, and we love Him, right? That's hallelujah. That's the reason. And she went through amazing difficulties, not just her sickness and dying very young and tremendous physical pain, but really what pierced her heart more was her parents' reluctance to embrace her vocation, her call to be a nun. right? She told them early on, I got this call from Jesus to be a nun, and they weren't having any of it, right? They were devout people, right? They didn't miss Mass. They didn't miss prayers. Her dad got up every morning, drew, and sang, right? And even her mom said, you're going to wake up the kids. He wanted to sing louder, right? Singing praises to God. These were holy people, right? These people were completely friends of Jesus Christ. This was the home she grew up in. But they were not rich, right? They were not wealthy. They had many children, and they depended on Faustina to help with the other siblings. When she actually had a job, they used her paycheck to help support the family, right, to put food on the table. So they really definitely needed her. And in those days, sadly, for a young woman to join the convent, right, 1920s, 1930s, you had to bring a dowry or some type of donation or some type of gift, and they didn't have that. And the parish priest told her mother and father, Mrs. or Mrs. Kowalska, oh, you should sell the cow. Sell the cow so your daughter can be a nun. And her mother and father are like, we're not selling the cow, right? We need the cow to plow, right? It's a basic understanding of farming, right? And they were not going to sell the cow. And their hearts were in some ways, Drew, broken when their daughter went to leave the convent, to join the convent at the age of 19. And we know this to be true. This isn't speculation, because after she was there for some time, and it's her big day, right? I get to receive a habit and a veil, look like a nun, act like a nun. And she received the name, right? This is the day they gave her the name in Poland, Sister Maria Faustina of the Blessed Sacrament. They sent out invitations, which is a big thing for a young woman. My mom and dad could be there in the front row or the front pew, right, to see me. And they didn't show up. They didn't come to that ceremony, and they were hurt that she left. And so there was some you talk about healing, divine mercy, right? Yeah. She had to have some healing and mercy for her mother and father, who resisted her vocation. Wow. Now the good news is, we know, all who are listening know, that the story ends really, really well, right? And that's the good news for our life, right? That our story can end well. And her mother and father eventually did come for her first vows, but think of it, Drew. Think of the facts. They're there for the first vows. They skipped the investiture, but they did show up for her first vows, and they eventually embraced her vocation. But her father took her into the garden at the convent in Poland, and he said with great skepticism, my child, don't you feel bored here? Right. Right? He's still like, well, isn't this a red flag? Do you like it here? And eventually he embraced her call to be a nun, and he said, we have to leave her here. This is the will of God. And that's the good news. I hope everyone who's listening, they can embrace this good news, right? That when we resist God's will, right, he doesn't give up on us, and we don't want to give up on each other.
Yeah, that's so true. I know you pointed out, Father, also, certain dates with St. Faustina. April 30th is one of those dates that seems to reoccur in her life, isn't it?
It is. It is. Think about it. Those who are listening today, this has been planned from all eternity. All of us who are listening to Relevant Radio today, this was planned from all eternity. Everything that happens is planned from all eternity. God is strategic in what he does, and our graces are given to us to help open our eyes and open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to say, oh, this was God's plan. Now it makes sense. I can connect the dots. And the 30th of April was a huge day in her life. In 1926, that's when she received the name Sister Faustina at the convent on April the 30th. In 1928, her first vows, April the 30th. And what day was she canonized the saint? In the year 2000, right? 22 years ago, by John Paul II, the first saint of the new millennium, April the 30th, right? And that's the good news. It fills me with joy. I'm thrilled to know that this is an adventure we live in, right? God's plan, and he wants us to connect the dots. Think about it, what G.K. Chesterton said, right? A great convert. He became Catholic 100 years ago in the summer of 1922. He said, an adventure is an inconvenience rightly understood, right? And that's what Faustina and her parents remind us of. This is an adventure, an inconvenience rightly understood. Well, what's an inconvenience then? An adventure wrong understood. And that's the good news. God gives us the men and women, right, who are saints, right, those who are canonized, those who are not in our own families, we know them, and to say, wait, am I going to wake up every day and say I don't want to, or by the time I go to bed say, oh, I'm glad I did, right, to resist the inconveniences and say, no, this is an adventure, and everything God does, he does because he loves me.
I love it. My guest today, Father Nicholas Federspiel, if you want to join us, the toll-free number here is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're talking today about the great St. Faustina. It's her feast day. There's so much to get into. We're only going to really scratch the surface of it. And I have to take a break in a minute, Father. Before I do, though, the dynamics within the convent. Now, you're a chaplain for
The Poor Clares.
The Poor Clares, right? They're cloistered, right?
All right. So we're cloistered in Rockford. We have 12 acres, and I live at the rectory of the monastery and have Mass for them every morning. Had Mass for them today, preached them about Sister Faustina. And so we have 25 nuns here. Wow. We just had our oldest turn 90. She's a platinum jubilarian. She's been here 70 years, Sister Mary Celine of the Child Jesus, and going all the way down to someone who just joined us from Nebraska, was a former school teacher for just 1 year. Many women in their 20s here. So vocations are booming in Rockford.
That's great.
Who pray for vocations, your prayers are being answered.
I think of the dynamic in St. Faustina's convent, too. You think these nuns are super holy and would always be charitable. That's not always the case, is it? I mean, she went through sufferings within the convent, and even certain nuns, as you wrote about, called her mother stingy with the Lord.
Right. One of the sisters in her convent in Poland was named Sister Wilczek, and she actually got in the face of Faustina's mother one day, and she asked her, and I want to quote, she said, why she was so stingy with the Lord God, with so many daughters, why did she not want to give that soul one to a convent? I mean, can you imagine the mother of a nun who has another nun in the community come up and ask her that to her face? Like, why are you so stingy? That's the last thing Mrs. Kowalska wanted to hear in her life from a nun who was a fellow nun with Faustina. And yet, think about what her response was. Mrs. Kowalska said, because she was the best child, the dearest child. She was obedient, she was hardworking, and the most loving.
Wow.
That's why it was so hard for Mr. and Mrs. Kowalska to let their young daughter join the convent, as it is for any mom and dad to let their daughter join a convent. It's not easy, right? It's major league, right? It's Navy SEAL Team 6. We know that. It's very difficult. But it is, too, for anyone, right? Whether it's marriage, priesthood, being a nun. And yet Mrs. Kowalska, she wanted their daughter at home. They just loved her. She was so good with the children and her siblings. And that's it. She focused on the ABCs, right? My attitude, my behavior, my character. It was off the charts virtuous, right? And that's why they wanted her to be at home. But eventually they did embrace her vocation. And that's the good news. She had her one and only home visit in 1935, never knowing that 3 years later their daughter would die. And it's amazing that the parents who skipped and boycotted the investiture ceremony for her to be named Faustina, they wouldn't have anything to do with it. They eventually came around 9 years later, and they begged her. They said, Faustina, never forget how many graces Jesus has granted you in calling you to the religious life.
Wow.
I mean, that's the good news. 9 years it took for them to change, but they did.
My guest, Father Nicholas Fedoshev. Father, stay with me. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll talk more. It's the great feast of St. Faustina. And if you want to join us, maybe even share how she has interceded in your life, love to hear that, okay? So feel free to join the conversation. It's 888-914-9149. Got a lot to talk about, and our conversation will continue. Stay with me. Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
The souls that say this chaplet will be embraced by my mercy during their lifetime and especially at the hour of their death.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, happy feast day to you. Today is the feast of St. Faustina, and one of my favorite saints, without question, one of the great saints of the, really, I think of the 20th century and into the 21st century. Her popularity continues to grow. Divine Mercy is one of the fastest growing grassroots devotion in the history of the church. And if you're just joining us, we're talking just a little bit about some seldomly spoken of aspects of Faustina's story, the backstory of her parents and the struggle they had with allowing her to become a nun, ultimately coming around, the faith she had, her walk with God. And, of course, the great accomplishment that she had. She left us with a diary, and in it were the revelations and recordings, the revelations of our Lord. She would write down everything the Lord told her. We have the Chapel of Divine Mercy, the image of Divine Mercy. We have the Feast of Divine Mercy. We have so much more. This is a woman who visited heaven and hell and purgatory. She glimpsed all of those, had encounters with her angels, with saints like St. Therese and St. Joseph. The Virgin Mary appeared to her. I mean, she was a paragon amongst saints and incredibly holy. She lived a humble life. I mean, she did the most menial of tasks in her convent. Not many people even knew of these mystical encounters with the Lord. She was a gardener. She would clean up. She was a porter. She prayed and she sacrificed and she suffered. She suffered a lot. She ultimately would die in 1938 of tuberculosis. And it slowly, you know, took her life. But she lived long enough to see the Divine Mercy image in books and on holy cards. And her spiritual director, Father Sopochko, Blessed Sopochko, he too would suffer. I mean, if it wasn't for him, we probably wouldn't have the diary or the devotion and the guidance he gave to St. Faustina. He died never seeing the ban on Divine Mercy overturned. Divine Mercy was banned for a period of time. It has subsequently been overturned. And as we know, a beautiful devotion embraced by John Paul II. And he, of course, canonized her in the year 2000. Father Federspiel joins me today, and he gave a beautiful sermon on the life of St. Faustina, and in particular her parents. Father, I think about her virtue. I think about her holiness. I think about her example and what we can learn from her. You know, she had these incredible encounters with God and the angels and the saints. Yet few knew. She exercised profound humility. She suffered profoundly. She said she would take on all the sufferings of all the martyrs combined if it meant just moving one degree closer to God in heaven. That's how profound that was. What can we learn from her, and what principles can we apply to our own lives?
Well, heaven is filled with converted sinners of all kinds. There's room for more, right? That's the good news. And holiness doesn't make life easier, but it makes it more joyful. And we want to know, can ordinary folks like ourselves, can we be heroic for Jesus? Right. That's really the question. And in her life, right, and in any story, if it's going to be interesting, there has to be suffering, right? Whether we go to a movie, read a book, right? People who are glued to the TV and the headlines, right? Stories are interesting because they're suffering. But to have heroism, we have to accept suffering. See, that's why her life is so important. There's always suffering in our lives, right? Jesus doesn't take away our suffering, but he can give it meaning. And that's why she's heroic, right? Is that she accepted her suffering, not with resentment, right? She was a chill forgiver. And what was her reward for virtue? Honor, right? We have to tell that to the whole world, yeah. Right? To say it from the rooftops. That's the reward we get for being virtuous, honorable people, right? And can ordinary folks be heroes? Of course, yes. What's the first step to being heroic for Jesus? We have to admire heroism in others, like Faustina, right? Like her parents. And the thing about being heroic is it's not just someone who only had virtue, but they're publicly admired for it. Not going through a parade through the street saying, oh, look at me. No, but pointing to Jesus, right? And the primary question we want to ask is, do I trust Jesus? It's the same question Faustina asked, right? Her mother and father were infertile for 9 years. Wow. 9 years before the God gave them 10 children. Think of their anguish, right? Do I trust Jesus? 5, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, right? Do I trust Jesus? And will I be like Faustina? Will I be like Faustina and lead everyone I meet to Jesus? Because Jesus notices that, right, when we do that. And think of what Vincent van Gogh said, the artist. I long so much to make beautiful things, but beautiful things require effort and disappointment and perseverance. And that's the good news. She was not bitter, right, through her suffering. She was not angry. She had a grateful heart. And that's the good news today, Drew, on this feast, is that a grateful heart is a magnet for miracles. And we want to tell that good news to everyone.
Yeah. Father, I'd love what you had to say. So beautifully said. I have a moment or two left. I'm just curious, how did you discover Divine Mercy? I mean, we all have our own path. I mean, the Lord certainly led me into this devotion a couple decades ago, just by providence. How did you come to know St. Faustina?
It really is through her diary. I every sentence that she wrote, right, I read it, and I just spent a lot of time immersing myself in her diary and getting to know her. And what she, I think the best thing she ever taught, as far as I'm concerned, I get the most mileage of, is what she says are the two greatest obstacles to being holy. Right, it's the DEA, right? We know what the DEA is, right? The Drug Enforcement Agency. Yeah. But the DEA for the spiritual life, she says in the diary, is discouragement, EA is exaggerated anxiety. Those are two greatest obstacles being holy, right? Discouragement and exaggerated anxiety. And we want to be alert to those and be awake and just ask the Holy Spirit, right? So his Pentecostal wind, his immaculate wings, we invite the Holy Spirit just to have a flawless flight, right? Give me your celestial light so I can understand, so I can appreciate that my difficult circumstances are gifts from Jesus to let me grow in virtue. That's the good news.
I love it. Well, Father, thank you for all that you do. It's always a delight to talk with you, and I always love your insights. So feel free to write anytime, and I'm open, you know, the mic's always open for you here too as well. Would you give us your blessing before you wrap it up?
Through the intercession of St. Faustina, may joy Jesus Christ smile upon us and lead us all to God-glorifying, life-changing, peace-producing, heart-stabilizing, uplifting, accurate thinking, and joy. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless your heart, Drew.
God bless you, Father. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it very much. That's Father Nicholas Federspiel, and please remember him in your prayers as well. All right? Please remember him. Great priest. And he's got the great privilege, as I said, being with these cloistered nuns, and I know they're powerhouse prayer warriors, so I'm sure he's getting a lot of prayer. But today, I'll conclude with this because we're going to change gears. We've got some more stuff coming up here. Maybe by the time I'll talk a little bit more about Faustina a little bit later, but call upon her. I really emphatically want to encourage you to go ahead and do that. Call upon St. Faustina. Ask her to intercede for you. I was sharing a little bit earlier that one of the great promises she made that after her death, she says her mission would only then begin. Look what she accomplished on this side of the veil by suffering, getting the image drawn, recording the diary, bilocating to the deathbed of so many souls. Her life was one of heroic virtue and suffering, and just she's one of the great saints. I love her. I love the example that she gives, that heroic virtue that Father spoke of. But she promised that upon her death, her mission would begin, that she would pull aside the veil of heaven so that doubting souls would no longer wound with their distrust the most merciful heart of our Lord. So today, my advice to you as I leave you here, do not doubt. And the message of divine mercy is based on trust. The more a soul trusts, the more it receives. Pray big for whatever it is that you need. Ask St. Faustina to intercede for you, and you will see that prayer and the mercy of God prevail.